I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Mike Lynch.
What's going on? This is Rashad.
This is the Sports Sunday Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. It is now brought to you on the fan by your local Les Schwab Tire Centers.
Doing the right thing since 1952.
Fire up for pro football.
That's what we call a sack lunch. Nom, 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 nom.
This is Football Sunday with Mike and Rashad.
Wouldn't kill you. We play some competitive sports once in a while, wouldn't it?
Oh, would that make you love me?
Football Sunday with Mike and Rashad on 1080 The Fan.
Hour 2 of 2 here on Football Sunday. Mike and Jesse with you today. Rashad out due to car issues. Whole first hour, if you missed it, will be up on the Les Schwab Tires podcast at 1080thefan.com and radio.com app. And we talked about the Oregon win, the Oregon State win. We talked about cars, even though I had nothing to add to the conversation.
By the way, if anybody
a little needs Patrick
to
Mahomes.
Do a little bit of work on your engine or rebuild your engine, Portland Engine Rebuilders on 11th and Hawthorne, I believe. Awesome. They did a great job. I had to take my engine back and get it done by a second place. I won't say the first place that messed it up, but they did a great job.
There you go.
And affordable.
So if you missed anything, you can listen on the Les Schwab Tires podcast for the first hour. It'll be posted after the show. This hour, we got Hater to Love It coming up at 10:30. We'll talk a little Oregon Lottery scoreboard app at the end of the show. And we got some Russell Wilson and Seahawks talk coming up next. But we will start with Marcus Mariota. Mariota, if you remember, we used to have to pronounce it that way for a week before we all realized that that was a mistake. He got benched by the Titans and frankly deserved to be benched after how he played against Denver in that game too. But got benched against the Titans, and Ryan Tannehill named the starting quarterback, at least for now, moving forward. And I want to start with the Titans specifically in this situation. I think Mariota will likely play again for Tennessee this year for a couple of reasons. When you bench your starting quarterback and the backup comes into a really bad situation, he oftentimes gets hurt or will also underperform and lead you to flip-flop back and forth every single week.
Well, let's face it. Tannehill also likes to throw a little INT here and there.
Yeah, I think Tannehill is a good backup. I think Tannehill has potential to be a starter again in this league. I always kind of liked him in Miami, but look, the Titans are not a well-made team. Their offensive line was supposed to be good. It's dreadful, clearly. They still have no wide receivers. They've never had wide receivers when Mariota was there. The only guy they've had is Delanie Walker, and he has not been able to stay healthy the last few years. And their defense is fine, but they're not built to help a quarterback succeed. They're just not. It's just not how they're built. And because of that, I think you will see Mariota again for the Titans. I think you will see him come back in and play either due to injury or just get the starting job back again. And frankly, he might do well with it too, because he's had some good games this year. Mariota, stat-wise at least, has had some good games. Now, if you've watched the Titans enough, stats don't mean everything. You've watched him make a lot of poor decisions on throws. You've watched him make really bad throws when guys were wide open in the end zone. You've watched him hold on the ball for too long. You've watched him throw the ball too quickly. He's just kind of a nervous guy in the pocket now. And I think it's easy to be nervous when so much of what you've dealt with in your career is a bad offensive line and you're always under pressure and you're always getting sacked. But he just hasn't proven it enough over and over again that he's good enough to be a starter in this league at this point. And I'm not surprised that Mike Vrabel benched him.
No, it's not a surprise at all. And somebody at some point has to be a scapegoat as to why you're not performing. And despite the fact that the lack of talent around him, the the lack of an ability to build a roster that works together, like in cohesion, like finding talent that works with your scheme, that blends with your quarterback's talents. They have not been able to do that. They've shown an inability to do such things. And so somebody at some point has to take the blame. And so despite the fact that Marcus Mariota has only thrown like two interceptions in the red zone his entire career, which honestly to me blows me away. That stat line itself is just unfathomable to me, that he's in his fifth year and he's only thrown two interceptions in the red zone, and he's every game he's been healthy, he's been the starter up to this point. Like, that blows me away. He takes care of the ball. Sure, he's not a great quarterback, and he's definitely regressed. But is that regression his fault, or is that a lack of coaching? Is that a lack of talent? Is that a lack of offensive line? We saw this with David Carr all those years ago. First overall pick for a Houston Texans. What did he turn out to be? Nothing, because he was sacked 68 times in a season. Then he sacked 69 times in a season. And the guy every single year is the top sacked quarterback because the offensive line's so bad. We just had this conversation last segment. You need an offensive line. You need one. A quarterback is never going to be the same without an offensive line. So sure, he's going to get it. He's not an elite quarterback. He never will be an elite quarterback. But does he have the ability to be a guy with a strong defense, a good running game, and a couple solid receivers to lead a team to a playoffs? Yes, he's done it. But this team continues to regress. He's never had the same offensive coordinator. Continue to turn offensive head coaches through that team, and let's see what happens to our quarterback. He's going to regress every single year.
So moving forward for Mariota, I think it's very important that he kind of does the Teddy Bridgewater route. I think he needs to be a backup on a good, well-run team and take advantage of an opportunity if given to him due to injury. Teddy Bridgewater is playing very well in the absence of Drew Brees and will likely at the end, I don't know if it's the end of this year or the end of his contract, will get a shot to be a starter again because of that. Because before his really gruesome knee injury, Bridgewater was good in Minnesota. He was showing that he had some talent. And it's still there. And I think it's good that he went to be a backup first to kind of get used to being on a team that actually has run well and change your environment a little bit. And yeah, so I could see him. Oh, there's the Edmonds touchdown for you, Jesse. Started him on the last second lark.
I played him.
I'd love to see him go to a place like New Orleans or New England or, you know, I would say Pittsburgh normally because, you know, Big Ben's coming back next year after his injury, although they've had some issues the last few years. But, I mean, Pittsburgh is a good organization. It's a good franchise. You can kind of learn a little bit how to
I think that's a – honestly, that's one of the – that's a good situation. You could get.
Yeah. I just – recently they've had some issues and they currently don't have a ton of talent outside of Juju Smith-Schuster and James Conner, which I guess is more than he has in Tennessee. So I digress. He needs to go to a situation like that. He should not try to go be a starter right away on a team that's had issues. Honestly, like the Denver Broncos, I'd love to see him be a Bronco as a Bronco fan and a Mariota fan, but I don't think Denver is the right place for him. They don't have an offensive line. They don't have a ton of skill position guys that will help him, especially in the wide receiver spot, that could help him moving forward. I don't want to see him go to Miami, or I don't want to see him go to Washington or all those places where he can start right away. That's a bad situation because we've seen him in a bad situation and it hasn't worked out. He needs to be a backup for a bit and get his chance later on, I think. And well, he might succeed with it.
When I'm having this conversation this last week, because he's definitely popped into my sports conversations over the week, and you think about what are we just talking about? He needs an offensive line. He needs a coach that understands what his strengths, what his weaknesses are, a guy that can be creative with good receivers, strong running game. You bring up Pittsburgh. Yeah, they have their flaws, but you still got a probably a number one in Juju. He hasn't had this, but you know what? He hasn't had Big Ben this year. I think you still well, got...
Well, when he did early in the year, he still didn't
do wasn't great, no. But I think you're finding out. I think Deontay Johnson has some talent on the outside. I think James Washington's a vertical threat. James Conner is still a good running back. And I think what is most important is they've always had a pretty solid offensive line in Pittsburgh. And as much as I hammer on Mike Tomlin for being a guy that has no idea how to coach a culture in a locker room, right? That's one aspect of coaching that is very important to head coaches. That's why this blew up, right? You allowed Antonio Brown to go off the deep end year after year after year. You never reined him in once he started going off the deep end. You never, you know, you allowed your quarterback to call out your players. Le'Veon Bell, you didn't appreciate him. He leaves. You just let all this stuff happen. But the one thing that Tomlin does that makes him still a great head coach. What did he do last week? He brought in Benny Snell, James Conner, runs the Wildcat with Snell, like all of these different things. He's doing the same thing that the Broncos did when they made the playoffs with Tim Tebow. All right, we're going to play Tim Tebow. Guess what? We're bringing the wishbone back. When's the last time you saw the wishbone in the NFL? Like the 60s? And he's bringing it back because that is the strength of his quarterback. Tomlin has the ability to do that with a guy like Marcus Mariota. And that's why it's a perfect landing spot for him. Strong offensive line. You still have skill players. And you have a coach that can be creative with your quarterback. And what I think is so great about that, I don't know if you could do anything better for your culture in that locker room than bringing in a guy like Marcus Mariota.
It might be true. The only question I have about that is people rave about Mariota, but he still is a bit of a quiet leader. So, you know, he brings a good culture and people like him, but he's not necessarily get in your face.
You don't need a rah-rah guy, but
I'm curious about that. That's
yeah. All. But I mean, I know that the fans love him in Tennessee. The coaches love him in Tennessee. The players love him. They're just frustrated because of a lack of 10, 11, 12 win seasons. They're getting their 9 on a regular basis, but he can bring that culture to Pittsburgh. Man, that is a beautiful landing spot for him.
Well, maybe that'll be the case for him. We shall see. Coming up next, it's time for the West Coast Bias, and we will dive into the Seahawks, who have been playing sensational, and the guy who is the MVP frontrunner right now, Russell Wilson. This is Football Sunday on The Fan.
It's time for some West Coast flavor.
Wrong side! Left side!
Yes, this is the center of the football universe.
Don't oversell it.
I'm not selling anything.
Come on, stop milking it.
Right in here, my lungs, I'd scream at you.
This is West Coast Bias, an in-depth look at the NFL's Western teams on Football Sunday with Mike and Rashad on 1080 The Fan.
10:17 here on your Sunday morning. Just a couple more segments to go till we let you go for the rest of your Sunday. West Coast Bias time means it is time to chat about some Russell Wilson and the Seattle Seahawks. So I think it was 3 or 4 weeks ago, the questions started coming in about from Jesse and from others about, is Russell Wilson like the second best or maybe even the best quarterback in the NFL? And I remember going, I don't think so quite yet. I think he might be top 5, but you got Mahomes, and I'll still give Brady that love, even though he's getting older and not exactly as exciting as he has been, at least in the regular season so far to start this year. But I was willing to give him a little bit of credit. So yeah, maybe top 5 guy, but after the last couple of weeks, he continues to impress and will his team to wins in the fourth quarter with sensational play after sensational play and keeping the play alive with his feet and, you know, pinpoint accurate throws in the back of the end zone and all sorts of incredible feats when you watch him play. And I think what the biggest issue is for him, for people to accept him as maybe the best quarterback in the league, or at least the top 2 or 3 guy permanently, is the fact that the way he doesn't look like a prototypical top quarterback in the league, right? He doesn't necessarily stand in the pocket forever and throw a great deep ball all the time. I mean, he is a guy who moves constantly. Some of that is because his offensive line hasn't been great in his career, but others is that's how he finds his success. So I think people look at that and go like, oh, he doesn't know what he's doing. He's kind of all over the place and he gets lucky. I don't think that's the case. I think it's all a method to the madness of Russell Wilson. And I mean, say what you will about maybe passing yards, not ever really getting more than 250 per game, but he's a touchdown machine, man. He throws for four touchdowns. He rushes for touchdowns. He is the Seattle Seahawks. He is the Seahawks. And I think without him, this team sucks. And with him, they're amazing. And I think that's such a huge difference. He's been incredible this year and absolutely is the number one guy in the MVP conversation right now, in my opinion. I'm sorry, Christian McCaffrey.
I don't know how you couldn't look at it and go, well, if he was throwing the ball as many times as Patrick Mahomes, he couldn't do the same thing. Like, this guy's, I mean...
Do we know that for sure? Because he never had to.
Exactly. But look at what he is. But that's the thing, though. He's so hyper efficient with his throws. Like, this is a guy that I mean, they have the same mentality as Minnesota. They want to run the crap out of the ball, and they don't want Wilson really throwing the ball more than 30 times a game. I think their ideal number for him is about 25 times a game if they could, right?
Yeah, I think so. They want to run the football.
But and that's why he's throwing for 280 yards and four touchdowns a game, basically, is because he's only getting like 25, 30 pass attempts a game. You have guys like, how many pass attempts did Kyler Murray have in his first game? He had like over 60 pass attempts. You have guys that are going absolutely insane. I would say Patrick Mahomes. I don't have the numbers right in front of me. I'm pretty sure he has about 40 pass attempts a game.
I will look it up for you.
So you're thinking about how if you averaged another 10, 12, 15 pass attempts a game into Russell Wilson's numbers, what do those numbers look like? 380 and six touchdowns a game? I'm just saying, like, he doesn't have the same opportunities that a guy like Patrick Mahomes has, but he's so hyper efficient with the opportunities he has. It's just when you do the math on it, if he was to get 10 more, 12 more, 15 more chances a game, his numbers would be insane.
So Mahomes, I don't have the actual average. I'm just doing it quickly based on what I'm seeing here. Average is about 37 attempts per game.
All right. And let's
Russell Wilson averages, I'm going to go ahead and remove the week 3 game against the Rams because that was, and we'll get to that in a second, but he threw the ball 50 times that game. Without that, he's averaging about 28 throws per game.
So about 10 attempts, 10, almost.
10 less. Now, with the 50, I'm sure that will shoot that average up if you're getting the pure average of it. But he's averaging about 10 attempts less per game than – is that Edmonds getting another touchdown for you?
Yeah.
Wow, that's nice.
Got Legard over here.
He's getting 10 attempts less per game than Patrick Mahomes. But what we saw in that game against the Saints when he had to throw the football 50 times, he threw for 406 yards. Two touchdowns, no picks. Also in that game, ran for two touchdowns. So when you give him the chance to be the guy, now they lost that game. So,
but they didn't do that. You know when all those attempts came? The fourth quarter. Yeah. I was running the board for that game. Like, it was still like, I'm going to get like 55, 60% running up until they were like, well, crap, I guess we got to let Russell Wilson be Russell Wilson. And then all of a sudden it's like,
they got back in the game.
Yeah.
So if you give him, now, I don't think Pete Carroll will ever do this because Pete Carroll wants to establish the run. That's one of his mantras. Yep. And he wants to, you know, really kind of take some time management part of the game and wind the clock down. I get it. But if you just maybe unleashed him for more Patrick Mahomes level attempts, because if you think about it, I think if you hear he's averaging about 37 attempts a game, that's less than you'd think for Mahomes, right? But that's because Andy Reid's a good offensive coordinator, good offensive mind, and he wants to run the football. He wants balance. He wants to establish the run, but he knows he has Mahomes.
The games he loses, by the way, are the games he doesn't establish the run.
If if Russell Wilson is given a little bit more freedom to throw the ball, I'm not going to say 10 more times, 5 to 6 to 7 more times a game, just how much better do you think they would be? The Seahawks, I think a ton better, and they're already really good, but he is so good when he's given a chance to run that offense his way. I mean, even what was the last game where he said that his headset broke and he called an entire drive himself, and oh, guess what, they scored a touchdown,
right?
I mean, he's that good. He's that smart. He's that able to do it. Unleash him a little bit more. You said the same thing with Arroyo this year. Unleash Herbert. You have Herbert. Let him, I know you want to establish the run, I know that's part of your mantra, but let him be Justin Herbert. And I feel the same way about Pete Carroll. Let Russell Wilson be Russell Wilson more than when you're losing and need him to be Russell Wilson.
Yeah, it's I love Pete Carroll, because honestly, he calls a game the way I truly believe the game of football's made to be played. And that's why you have a team every year. Like last year, what do we think? This is a non-competitive, one of the worst teams of the football. That team made it to the playoffs. But same thing this year coming in. We're like, I don't know, man. They didn't do a lot of change. Yeah, Russell Wilson just he takes teams to another level. The way I hate saying this because I honestly hate the Seahawks, and Russell Wilson does get under my skin. He reminds me so much of Peyton Manning, except mobile. He reminds me of Peyton Manning, but mobile. Like
how
in
so?
A better the way he's able to play the game, read the defense before it happens. He
the, you're like the intelligence level.
The
is
intelligence
kind of where
you're going? Level, except he's mobile and he throws a better ball. Like he's Peyton Manning, but he's got the physical tools that Peyton Manning never had. Does that make sense?
Yes,
absolutely. And so that's what's scary about him. And I'm like, man, if he literally was able to throw the ball 37, 38 times a game, man, that would be – it's not the way to play the game of football. And I know that because I honestly think you get into the playoffs, you need a strong running game if you want to win. Like, it's so hard, I think, to win just based off of a pass-happy attack. Man, if you let him do that, dude, that guy's easy 5,600 yards, man. Easy. I think
and that's the funny thing is he still might win the MVP this year without those numbers, right? Like, he's a guy who at this point is number one or number two, if you want to give it to McCaffrey, which I understand, in MVP voting, and he's throwing the ball 28 times a game. And he's not going to get those numbers because he doesn't have the opportunities, but yet he does the most with his opportunities and still gets the Seahawks into the end zone.
Completing over 70% of his passes this year. I mean, he's just so dang good. And who are the receivers on that team? Who's the true number one on that
Tyler
receiver?
Tyler Lockett.
Tyler Lockett's a true number one?
Yes.
I don't think he's a true number one.
Well,
I
he
think
is
he's
on
making,
that team.
He is on that team. Exactly. Exactly. I think of a guy like Pierre Garçon, right? In Indy, he looked really good with Peyton Manning. He's pretty good when he didn't have, but he was really good with Peyton Manning. That's what I'm saying. Wilson takes guys. It's the same thing like the elite players do. Like we've seen this time and time again, and it has to be more and more and more lately with a guy like Aaron Rodgers, but where you're taking guys, nobodies, and you're elevating them and turning them into what appears to be wide receiver ones.
I think Tyler Lockett's a little better than you're giving him credit for. From when I watch him, and maybe this isn't exactly a great comparison just because they're both fairly young in their careers, but he kind of reminds me of Cooper Kupp. He's just always open, right? He runs his routes, or whatever you want to say. I got made fun of for saying routes last week, by the way. You can say the word both ways, guys. He can run his routes. He runs them so well. He always finds himself open. When you're watching Tyler Lockett play, he's always finding the soft spot in the zone, and he's fast,
right?
And he plays on the inside so he can outrun certain cornerbacks as well. So I think he's really good, but obviously Russell Wilson being his quarterback makes him that much better.
I get where you're saying. I see that comparison.
I don't think Jared Goff makes Cooper Kupp better.
Well, Cooper Kupp's not a true number one. He might be the guy with the best numbers, but he's
considered their number one right now,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, but he doesn't see the number one coverage. Now, the one thing that Lockett does is often Lockett does see number one coverage because he is technically the number one in that offense. Every once in a while it goes to DK or something, but you know, because they like to run Lockett out of the slot and justifiably slow, so he's really good over the middle. But in reality, if you take Lockett and you put him on 25 other teams in the NFL, is he a number one receiver? No, I don't think he is. I think with the creativity of the offense that you can get with Pete Carroll, the play action, the running game, all that stuff together, and then you have a guy like Russell Wilson, he elevates Lockett, who I think is a high-end number two. I think if he's your number two on a team, you're really happy. But I think on most teams, if he's your number one, you're going, oh, I don't know.
Well, we got this text. He goes, you really think that if Seattle became a passing team, they'd have success? I think you're missing something here. No, we're not saying to become a passing team.
No,
given,
not at all.
Giving him, and I'm not saying 10 more, I'm saying 5 or 6 more passes a game. Just giving him the opportunity to do a little bit more. And the reason I say that is Seattle, in the current iteration of the way they run their team, plays down to their opponent and is always in close games against bad teams. Now, some years that means they win them a lot, right? And some years they lose them a lot. Some years you get really disappointed. You're like, oh, my God, the Seahawks are losing. Like last week, they almost lost to the Browns last week,
right?
They didn't, so it's a moot point, but they almost did. Week one, they almost lost to the Bengals, who were still without a win at this point in the season. If you give Russell Wilson a little bit more leash to be the guy, I'm not sure you have as many scary games against those bad teams because you're not trying so hard to force the run to work when sometimes it's just not working.
Well, it's that.
And I think that's you want to have balance. Jesse said it. You want to be balanced. You want to be able to run the football. And I think that will always be part of the Seahawks game plan as long as Pete Carroll is their head coach. And they've got a really good running back in Chris Carson, who's a very good number one bell cow running back in this league. But you have maybe the best quarterback in the NFL, and you just want to maybe unlock him a little bit more. That's all.
Yeah, no, I mean, we're not at all saying this needs to turn into a pass-happy team. In fact, I've said many reasons as to why the style of football that they play is a good style of football, but I agree. I think that they, at times, because they so much want to play that hard-nosed football, that physical brand of running between the tackles and forcing that ball down the defense's throats, sometimes they're not as quick to adjust to the passing game when that philosophy is not working. And I think that's all that we're basically saying is if you transition to more of a passing game when you're finding out that, okay, it didn't work in the first half, and you come out in the second half, you're like, we're going to make a couple adjustments, see if that helps the running game, and it still doesn't work, which this has happened with the Seattle Seahawks. They continue to run the ball, whereas guess what? Russell Wilson's still been really effective with his limited pass attempts. Let's amp those up a little bit more because that's what's working today. And they just don't do it in those close games until it's too late. So that game where he passed for over 400 yards, that transition came too late in the game. And that's, I think, the number one problem with Pete Carroll is he does fall in love with that philosophy so much, he's not willing to change the philosophy soon enough in a game.
Keep your thoughts coming in at the Better You Today text line at 55305. Adam Thielen just made it a sensational catch, but also looks hurt after doing so. Sensational catch, dragged both feet and is down, and Kirk Cousins was calling for someone to come out and talk to him. So we'll keep you updated on that. And coming up next, though, we have Hate It or Love It. But first, Jesse has SportsCenter.
Weekend sports with a difference. This is Sports Sunday with Mike and Rashad on 1080 The Fan.
That music means it's time for Hate It or Love It. Rashad's not here, so that means by default I will win. Hooray! And sorry, I'm also partially distracted because I'm watching Red Zone as I talk.
And we'll just do that right now.
Okay, yeah, good. Thank you.
Our winner today, not Rashad.
Not Rashad.
He's hanging his head right now because he's listening. And
not,
he's, like,
he's definitely not listening.
He's like, no, he didn't get the win. I wasn't there. But when you're not here, he'll take the win.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Anyway, let's get going. What do you got for me today, Jesse?
All right, well, let's stay with something that won't get me salty yet. Because we're going to definitely get into the salty business of Jesse's mind here pretty soon.
I've already heard the salt about John Elway.
Ooh,
very angry.
Oh, wait a minute. Oh, you previewed some saltiness coming later.
Oh, I knew it was coming.
So there are a couple bad teams in the NFL right now. Obviously, everybody knows about the Miami Dolphins. We knew this coming into the season. They literally, like, telegraphed their entire play in the offseason. And basically, Josh Rosen has no chance to be a starting quarterback, a real starting quarterback in this league. That's not where I'm going with this anyways. It's not even about Miami. It's mostly about bad teams. Anyways, the one team that I don't think really we saw being as bad as they truly are, that hasn't been this bad in some time, and actually in fact has been kind of a in the hunt for the playoffs type team for quite a while, in the Cincinnati Bengals, are 0-6, and they are bad. They are really bad. Now, I don't know if this is just coaching. They got a young rookie head coach. I'm not exactly sure what's going on. I don't know if it's the quarterback, because Andy Dalton's been perfectly average and sometimes below average his entire career. I don't know if it's the offensive line that's just total trash, or the defense that's trash, or just the team that's absolute trash, but One thing that they have decided they are not going to do before the trade deadline is trade AJ Green, a player that's already said he doesn't really want to come back to Cincinnati. Love or hate, the Bengals need to trade AJ Green and get something for him.
Oh, that's love for sure. I mean, the season's loss is you start 0-6, you're done, right? I mean, there's no coming back from that. And look, I actually don't think the Bengals are as bad as the 0-6 indicates. And I think that's a tough thing. You lose by 1 to the Seahawks, you lose by 4 to the Bills, you lose by 3 to the Cardinals, and you lose by a touchdown or 6, sorry, to the Ravens. I mean, those are close games. And in some of those cases, against teams like the Seahawks and the Ravens, against good teams. So it's not like you are, it's not like you're the Dolphins, and it's not like you're the Redskins where you're losing by what feels like 30 points a game, right? So I don't think they're that bad, and I'm not 100% sure why they're this bad either. And I don't want to put it all on Zach Taylor yet because he's a new head coach. So he was given this situation and he's trying to fix it. But yes, absolutely, you should trade AJ Green. AJ Green, when healthy, is still a very good wide receiver. He used to be a tier one wide receiver during the heyday of his career. That's not the case anymore. But he is still very good and reliable. And a lot of teams who are in the playoff hunt could use him as a second good wide receiver on that team, I think.
You're telling me Philly wouldn't love a guy like that?
I mean, Any team in a playoff hunt. I mean, Dallas would love a guy like that, right?
San Francisco
would absolutely love a guy like that if they had someone to throw him to him, and Jimmy Garoppolo isn't really that guy. But yeah, San Francisco needs a wide receiver, and I could see AJ Green being the number one on that team. Absolutely. But if you're in a situation you're going to be losing like this, I mean, you get as many assets as you can to try to rebuild as quickly as you can. And I mean, Cincinnati doesn't want to trade a bunch of their guys because they've got some good young talent, to be honest. I mean, I think Joe Mixon's a good running back. He hasn't had a very good year. I think some of that is the offensive line's not very good.
Right.
I think Boyd is a good wide receiver. I think Tate's showing that he's a pretty good wide receiver. So I think you've got options moving forward. And yeah, you're kind of stuck with Andy Dalton. He's not bad. He's not great. He's just kind of average, and that's okay. You obviously would like a better quarterback than him, but for now, I think it's fine. Get as many assets as you can for the guys that you can trade, like AJ Green, and use them on an offensive line and use them on positions of need, and it'll be fine. Yes, I know he's been a Bengal for his whole career. That's okay. You can let him go. Love.
Yeah. No, I'm definitely loving that one as well. I just I think it's an absolute travesty and mistake when franchises refuse to look at their situation and go, us needing to get better is more important than us keeping one really good player or a couple really good players. So I also very much agree with that. I think AJ Green wants a new scenery. I think he would like it this year as opposed to next year. And I know there's a playoff team that would love to have him on their team, and the Bengals stink and they need assets and they need to get better. And that's the best way is through the draft when you're a team like the Bengals and you don't sign free agents. So, all right, moving on. The Panthers, this is like one of those teams where typically they are either really good and they are going to the playoffs, or they've been either really bad and they haven't been making the playoffs. There's never been really too much in between. Now, the one thing that's different this year is Cam Newton, all those injuries finally taking a toll, has that Liz Frank injury, has shoulders injuries now, and he's not playing. It's been the Kyle Allen show. Undrafted rookie Kyle Allen been leading the Panthers to victory with proficient passing. Love or hate, we've seen the last of Cam Newton this season.
Oh.
There have been reports of him possibly coming back and practicing next week, the week after.
That's a tough one. I'm going to say hate because, well, he's Cam Newton, and he's your however many million-dollar man that you have there now. I don't think they should start him again because I think what you've seen with Kyle Allen is a guy who can actually throw the football. And I don't say that as a slight against Cam Newton. I say that as his shoulder injury is too bad, where he has not been able to throw the football accurately since he hurt his shoulder. He's never been right since that injury. So, and you saw it earlier this year before he hurt his foot, he just doesn't have the arm strength anymore that he used to. That used to be his calling card. He could run, obviously, but his arm strength was amazing. He could throw the ball over them, their mountains over there in the distance, Uncle Rico. And I just don't know if he can do that anymore. I think he either has to learn how to be a different quarterback, a la Peyton Manning, when he lost feeling in his fingers and had to change his style. Maybe he needs to change a team that knows how to use him in a kind of a more conservative way. I don't know if Cam Newton can play like that. I think so. To get to my point, I think the Panthers will likely give him time again because, well, they're the Panthers and they want to give Cam Newton another chance. But I don't think they should because Kyle Allen has been really, really good.
Yeah, no, this is one of those things where Cam Newton's never been a cerebral quarterback. He's been a big physical bruiser. He's been a guy that if you get on the 3-yard line, goal to go situation, like you just can't stop him. But he's not that guy anymore. And if you're going to turn him into a cerebral pocket passing quarterback, we saw it against Tampa Bay week two. Dude's just overthrowing receivers left and right. He doesn't have the accuracy to be a cerebral quarterback. I'm not going to say he's a bad quarterback. He doesn't know how to read defenses because I think at that level, you know how to read a defense proficiently enough. But he's not a Peyton Manning that's going to be able to understand what every aspect that the defense is throwing at him before the snap is being done. You know, so you've got, I think, the best out of Cam Newton that you were ever going to get. I think from here on out, it's downhill. It reminds me of Dante Culpepper, right? Like Dante Culpepper for 8 years, roughly 6-7 years, was a really good quarterback. Tore his ACL. A couple teams later, he's out of the league. It's just once the style quarterback with him, once that goes up, dude, the play goes down. Play goes down.
Let's do one more.
One more?
Yeah.
All right.
You want to do the Elway one?
We're going to go
to
Elway.
Don't get too angry. We only have a couple minutes.
No. Okay. So we all know that basically what it comes down to, Denver, there's two paths they can take. You can keep looking in the mirror and seeing what you want to see, or you can look in the mirror and you can see what's actually there. Currently, John Elway is seeing what he wants to see, and that's resulting in losses and losses and losses and more losses. And you can look at that mirror and you can go, we need to play Drew Lock, and we need to see what we have, because there are a handful of quarterbacks that can change a franchise coming in this next draft, and we need to know if we're going to draft them. Thing is, I don't think that's going to happen. I think he's just going to keep forcing Flacco out there after the Drew comes back from IR. I think that's going to be a mistake. And this team's going to be just a mess, and we're not going to know what we have. Love or hate, John Elway is going to lose his GM title at the end of the season. That doesn't mean he's not going to be the president of operations. He's just going to lose his GM title at the end of the season.
I hope so, because he sucks at being a general manager. Now, John Elway is a legend in Denver and multiple-time Super Bowl winner. And when you're a legend, you get way more leash than you should. But I understand. I understand why. And if you are the front office of this team, you owe a lot to John Elway for putting Denver in a position to be a good franchise moving forward. But John Elway has proven time and time again that he doesn't really know what he's doing as a GM. He doesn't have it as a GM. Doesn't know how to pick a quarterback. Has missed on almost every quarterback pick. The only success he's had since he became GM of the team is convincing Peyton Manning to sign there.
Which was a good move.
It was a great move, but it was not his decision or scouting ability that did that. It was, oh, he's one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, and he wants to be a Denver Bronco? Okay, I can help with that. The other thing is he doesn't seem to understand where the holes on this team are because he doesn't draft to fill them. I mean, the offensive line's been bad for years, and either he drafts bad offensive linemen or doesn't draft enough offensive linemen. The receiving core needs help, and he's drafted one good receiver in the last few years. So there's other guys who can do it better. And it all comes down to quarterback in the end. It's the most important position on the field, and he does not know how to judge quarterbacks. So, yeah, he will lose his GM title at the end of the year. Should and will.
So this is going to kind of sound like blasphemy. But I know he's a legend. I know he's one of the best quarterbacks of all time. Right? This is his career numbers. 56.9% career completion percentage.
That's not great.
51,475 yards.
That's good.
That's fine. Yeah. 7.1 yards per attempt. It's okay.
Okay, whatever.
300 touchdowns to 226 interceptions.
That's a lot of interceptions.
John Elway went to Super Bowls. He lived he was a quarterback in a different era. And so in his era, he was an amazing quarterback. In this era, he's god awful. All those numbers, those are worse than Marcus Mariota.
Yeah.
He's god awful in this era of football. What makes us think he can get a quarterback?
Good catch, by the way. You were about to curse, I could tell. I don't believe he can get a quarterback. I've lost that belief. I gave him as a Broncos fan, I've given him more than enough opportunity to prove me wrong, and he has yet to prove me wrong. And look, I mean, he could probably say, oh, well, Drew Lock's the answer. No, he's not. Did you watch Drew Lock in college? Drew Lock is not the answer. Did you watch Drew Lock in this preseason? Hell no, he's not the answer.
He did not look good in preseason.
He was terrible. And in a draft coming up where you've got Tua and Herbert and Love and Fromm and all these other good quarterbacks going into the draft, you can't afford to have a guy who doesn't know what he's doing when drafting a quarterback. So, yeah, John Elway needs to let someone else be the GM moving forward, even if he still is going to be the president of operations. All right, that's Hater to Love It. Coming up next, let's wrap up this show with a little talk about the Oregon Lottery scoreboard app here on 1080 The Fan.
Weekends were made for sports. This is Sports Sunday with Mike and Rashad on 1080 The Fan.
One final segment here on Football Sunday. Mike and Jesse with you today. Rashad was out due to some car trouble. Jared Goff just made a nice throw to Todd Gurley on a touchdown catch right there. A little perfect little delivery right over the shoulder. Only guy who could catch it was Gurley.
One of those passes where you realize why he was first overall. Like,
I don't think Goff is great, but I think he's good.
I think
people like to hate him.
It's one of those things where everything aligned for him because he could have been one of those guys that could have got ran out of the league in 3 years. If Jeff Fisher was his coach for his entire career, he would be gone.
Probably. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure he'd be gone. I'm pretty sure Sam Bradford's career was also ruined by Jeff Fisher. In fact, I'm pretty sure Jeff Fisher just ruined a lot of careers because he sucked at coaching.
Probably true. Oregon Lottery scoreboard app is out. Came out on, what was it, Tuesday, I believe. It came out Tuesday night. There were a lot of issues on the first day, but since, at least as far as I can tell and from what I've heard, most of those issues seem to have subsided. It's the first legal betting thing that we could do in Oregon since sports action, except for what Chinook Winds Casino opened up down at the coast. It had a sports book in their casino over there. But in terms of those of us who want to bet on sports that are not going to drive to the coast every single time we want to do it, this has been great. I've really, really enjoyed the app so far. I've only put one. Well, I've made two wagers, one that's in action right now, but one earlier. And I got the win. The money showed up in my account in like a minute. I'm not kidding. I opened the app once the game went final and I was like, oh, let's see how it goes. And as I opened it, my little bet slip went away for the bet, and then I watched the money go up in the account, and I was like, look at that. It worked perfectly. There's options for everything except for college. They have yet to put college in the app. They've said they're going to look at it in the future. I'm not sure what that means. I'm not sure why they didn't do it. I think in part probably because you have two major universities in this state, and there might be a little bit of a nerves of starting this and then including betting on their games right away. But I do think you'll probably get college betting coming again in the future.
I think the biggest...
It's just fun.
The biggest obstacle there is the reason we got rid of everything in the beginning was because the NCAA wanted it gone in order to bring the tournament
right
here.
But the NCAA got rid of that rule.
Yeah.
I just think that if you're a state-run organization like the Oregon Lottery, I think there's probably a little bit of like a political game of you don't want to upset the universities that are in the state
right
by putting betting in right away. But think about it this way. We are in a state that loves college football more than anything else. Think about the amount of money that the Oregon Lottery slash that can be used to put in for the state of Oregon could make on college football betting and college basketball as well. I think it will come. It just will come after a while when there's been proven success of the app. And so far, once the issues got ironed out, it's working really well. And you can bet on literally everything. They have like Korean volleyball on there. They've got handball. They've got cricket. If you want to be a real degenerate, you can do all that kind of stuff. Or you know, you can put a $1 bet down if you want. If you want to do a minimum bet, great. It's just a little fun, little extra fun to have some skin in the game. One extra dollar, right? $1.
You're going to become a professional bettor now.
Am I?
Yeah, like 6 months now. You're going to be like, sorry, guys. I raked it in.
Turns out I'm really good at this. I don't know. Yeah, for me, this is a new frontier for me. I've only laid a couple of bets in my life, and they've all been in Vegas. And, So this is kind of a new frontier for me. So I'm interested to see how it goes. And I'm not putting big money in. Trust me, I'm not. I can't afford to put big money in there. But it's fun to have a couple bucks on some of these games and see what happens. So let's go Niners minus 9.5. Although so far that has not been the case in a very rainy Maryland right now. You know, 10 points. They can win by 10 points still.
Clock running there, too, with that running game. Just working that clock, both those teams.
Well, the Redskins won't score, so as long as the Niners can get some points on the board, I'll be happy. Anyway, thanks so much for listening. If you missed any of the show, it'll be on the Lush Up Tires podcast on 1080thefan.com and radio.com and the radio.com app. We are out again next week due to another early Seahawks game. Seahawks next week, I'm going to double check for you quickly. Have another 10 a.m. game against the Atlanta Falcons in Atlanta. So we will be off next week. We will be back on Sunday, November 3rd from 9 to 11 a.m. Good luck in your fantasy weeks. Good luck to your favorite teams. And good luck in betting if you're doing that as well. We'll see you in a couple weeks.
Omaha! 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 Omaha!
This one's for Pat!
Arr. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.